I need to stress the importance of one of the prayers requests. I didn't address it with the severity that it merited. We're dealing with, we're talking about Leslie going to the doctor tomorrow for an examination, and what's going on with the in the inner ear and all. It could be death threatening, and I did not make that clear. So it's just something that started off and in childhood, and it's at that point. So we need to be in prayer for the doctors to be led into finding out what the actual real status is and what needs to be done. And be in prayer for Jerry and Leslie. Be in prayer for the doctors that just doesn't go down there and try to tell them what she, her opinion of everything is. And this is done all right. So, well, we got to pray that God may not want it real quick. He may want to get Jerry some relief and, you know, and take a little time. So, we don't know. Ah, wait till the minute you're falling to good shit, all right? But let's give you in prayer. I did not relay to you the severity of it. And so, that attitude, the other things that we have been in prayer for. I talked to John Hintz today. Somebody asked about his, I think Paul, you did, and he said he felt that the, you know, he did three Wednesdays, and he felt that this last one was really was the best one, and the entire thrust was spiritual love, loving as Christ loved. What we're talking about, Jeff and Patty, is a good friend of ours, is a pastor in Tucson. He's had the opportunity to speak at a men's breakfast type thing, about 70, 80 men, and he didn't know them, they didn't know him, but he was allowed to speak three Wednesdays in a row, been dealing with them in spiritual love, and this last Wednesday was just powerful. He said, unlike the other two even, he said, nobody moved, usually they're drinking coffee and shuffling around and all this type of thing, but he said that in certain points when he was dealing with how Christ loved, he said he had every man's attention at this deal. So be in prayer for the men that heard the gospel message. Be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will convict those that are unbelievers, that they will respond to the gospel, or even get in touch with John, and continue to be in prayer for John. That's very discouraging. John, you know, this assembly is not like ours, and that's the way his has been, and that does get a little discouraging. So continue to be in prayer for John. And no, Paul White, when we worship here, we worship together. You got to have to come sit right up here. I know you laugh funny and loud and all that, but we'll bear it. Just come on up here. Sit with us. There you go. Been praying for John Hintz and Dan and Rod and all of them. Okay. I don't think it's nice of your employees to pray that you stay away from the office another 6 weeks, though. But that's, everybody prays the way that they're going to pray on these things. But I've been praying in regard to the decision that they make and how they're going to deal with it. You had your hand up? My grandmother passed away. Oh, my goodness. How old was she? Did they know she was a Christian? About 84. Did they know she was a Christian? Okay. Was she in prayer for Brian? I'm sorry? Yes. Okay, the Lord broke, took her home. That's good. If she's a believer, that's great. No problem with that at all. Paul? Good. So far, so good. Very good. All right. Very good. Periodically, like you know, and you've been in prayer, I would be invited to remember the Baptist Church over in East Dallas, and I tell you about how one of the older pastor would always, you know, amen, and I loved it. And happy to have the people, Jeff and Patty, with us. Jeff's kind of responsible for having me invited over there, and they came over to be with us Sunday and tonight, so might want to introduce yourself to Jeff and Patty and get to know them. All right, anything else we need to bring forward? All right, let's approach the throne of grace together and get ready for battle. And last night we were dealing with cleansing and what cleansing meant, and some of the concepts behind. Not all, most Christians think about forgiveness, but the Bible deals a great deal with cleansing. And you don't hear Christians talking about it too much except in weird connotations. But what happens spiritually when cleansing does take place becomes very important as far as our service to God. And that brings us to disclosure into what we're studying tonight. And so let's prepare ourselves for battle. And people, I do mean battle. John, when talking to him today, John's as you well know, a very good friend, and proven him to fire. But having said that, sometimes you get John, if you call him just at the right time, he will not stop talking. I mean, you pump that button, and man, he is going. And went into a long discussion, and I'm just sitting there, yes, 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 and yes, yes, yes. And I told you last year, okay. People hear and hear and hear and hear, but they do not hear. And what we're studying tonight is for the Christian, is the most fundamental teaching. It's the goal of the Christian, to love as Christ loved. And people hear it in many different contexts, but never hear what really is going on with it. And it's a battle to allow the Holy Spirit to just lift the veil that we can understand what spiritual love is, why spiritual love. See, if you remember, we studied faith and how faith is the great issue, but not only that faith is the great issue, but very important to me was that you understood and understand why. Why faith? Not just that it is faith, but why faith? Now we come to another issue in regard to spiritual love, the greatest work of faith. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, for nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. Now, I want to deal, as we go through this time, not only that it is love, but also why. And you have to, if you can understand this, you'll make it. And have the greater work and have rewards at the efficiency rating, the judgment seat of Christ for believers. But it's so important to know why, and that's why when you're in the battle of faith, you'll see and understand what's going on. Now, the same thing is true in regard to love. Not only is love the new commandment, not only is spiritual love the goal, but it's so essential in getting the whole picture as to why. Why is there? Why not? Why isn't the new commandment, just to make my point, why isn't the new commandment be righteous? I give you a new commandment. Everyone be righteous. Why isn't it that? Why isn't it learn my word? Why isn't it serve me? Why isn't it some other command? Why is this the new commandment? Why is this called by Paul the goal in the scripture, and as we're dealing with it, why is this the work of the Christian? Not only that it is, but why is it? So let's prepare ourselves for battle, and not only hearing the words and reading the words, but allowing the Holy Spirit, by trusting Him, to lift the veil that we can clearly see and understand what's going on. Let's go. Father, only through the illuminating ministry of the Spirit can we get a picture of eternity past and understand the greatness and the beauty that You created Lucifer and angels we get a glimpse of how phenomenal things were in eternity past between yourself and a higher creature. And then, Heavenly Father, it is through your Spirit again that we begin to understand that in its relationship with our lives, our marriages, our families, our single life, our work, our home, our assembly. Father, we pray that now your Spirit will illuminate for us the passages that we look at, the concepts we take a look at, that you will protect us for a few moments, Father, from the powers of darkness, that we may see and understand these things, allowing the Spirit to reveal them to us, that, Heavenly Father, we might fulfill the new commandment, we might fulfill the goal, reach the goal, that we might, Heavenly Father, fulfill the purpose of why we're here and what our life is about in the short time we have to live. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. What is the, we've been studying now in last several Wednesday nights, and we're dealing with spiritual love, and we're dealing with the concept that this is the work. This is the work that is given to us. And if you'll recall, this comes from Galatians chapter 5, where this is the work that we're to do, and this is the work of faith. And so the work is spiritual love. This is what we are, this is the goal of the Christian. That brought us in, okay, if that is the work, to love as Christ loved, then what is the cause? How's this going to come about? What is the cause of this love? And the cause of this love is the third member of the Godhead. And always remember that as we get back on Sunday morning in John 14. But the cause of this love is the person of God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, in Isaiah 48:16, God the Father has sent me, Jesus Christ, his Son, and he has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. They are both essential as far as the plan of God is concerned. But the cause of the love, loving as Christ loved, is the Holy Spirit. So we've spent some time on that. Then we know that, okay, if he's the cause, now we come to the means. And what is the means of me tapping into that spiritual love, tapping into the Holy Spirit to give it? And let me just, and the means is our faith. This is the means, our faith in the Holy Spirit. People, don't just pass this by, because this is the whole problem that's going on with a lot of the body of Christ. But just as a blatant example, the article that I keep mentioning the last few Sundays that was in the Dallas Morning News, what these people see is that there is the fruit of the Spirit, and if you will work, if you will do and do and work real hard, then you can have the fruit of the Spirit, and the first fruit of the Spirit is love, spiritual love. This is very important. I think sometimes we sit here and go, yeah, I got it. Yeah, the means, faith, boom. And then you're going to go talk to your friends, your family, run into people. And they're going to say, no, it's do. And if you haven't allowed the Spirit to walk you through all of these things, you might be caught at a loss as to what's going on. Because a great deal of the body of Christ, an awesome number, an awesome amount of the body of Christ is going to come up with some kind of do and do to get the gift of the fruit of the Spirit. And just like that man, he's got a long test. I've got how many questions to find out where you are on them. And then for each one, he has 60 things you have to do to perfect that fruit of the Holy Spirit. People, that's a yoke. That's a yoke. And Christ said, my yoke is very light. But if you talk with him, this is how, what you have to do if you want the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the means, and in that whole article, it never talked about faith in the Holy Spirit for getting these things. No, you got to do and do. It's a perfect reading of Isaiah 28. So we have to make up our mind. Do you really believe that all I have to do is trust the Holy Spirit and He will pour in this fruit in me. Or do I have to do something else? It's just like Salvation 1. Do I have to do something more than just put my faith in the person of Jesus Christ for Salvation 1? So we've left this now, but I just got to emphasize how important that is, because right there is the battle. The means of having the love of Christ flow through me. How do I do that? What is the means of that occurring? And that's essential. So the means, by means of faith, becomes a great issue. Then last week, and we finished up for our study, the consciousness. What is the consciousness of spiritual love? And the consciousness of spiritual love is the Word of God, the Bible, written Scripture. So here is the consciousness, and we spent some time, if the Holy Spirit pours in this love, why then do we have it in the Bible? If I'm not supposed to go out and really work at my love being long-suffering and really work at my love bearing all things, if I'm not to do that, then why in the world is it in the Bible? Well, it's in the Bible, as we saw. We studied about 8 or 9 points as to why it is in God's Word, so that we will know what kind of love God expects, so that we will know we can't do it, but we desire it in our life. And then we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, then we can see it start coming through our life, and then we can praise Him. We cannot quench the Holy Spirit. That's a very important point. A lot of people will see spiritual love flowing through them, and then they'll quench the Spirit by stopping spiritual love. And you quench the Spirit. And how do we do that? So it's given to us so that you can see what's going on in your soul and then not quench the Holy Spirit. Now we have one more dimension for this introduction and study of spiritual love. We have the work, spiritual love, the cause, the Holy Spirit, the means, faith, the consciousness of it, Scripture. Now we have one more thing, and that is the person. The person of spiritual love, and the person of spiritual love is Jesus Christ. Now, people, what I just said is going to be the beginning of your illumination in the light and walking in what I like, not like, a couple years ago at a ordination. This was the point trying to be made, but not one of them, so well, one, but he already saw it, but the seminary students did not see it, they were being ordained. What you do when you trust the Holy Spirit and you open up the Scripture and you start in on a passage, you don't tell the Holy Spirit, I know what this means. I already know what this word means, I already know what this passage means, so I don't really need you. All I'm going to do is do some good work so I can show how much I can do. Or you can go into it and by faith allow the Holy Spirit to, as it were, take you from a dark room. You open the door, and that's faith, and He takes you into this whole world illuminated to show you what is going on. And that's what we have with this. If you can begin to understand now the person of spiritual love, you will have just walked into this big Grand Canyon illuminated for you as to the why. Why spiritual love? Why it's important? Why that is our goal? Why that is our work? Because, dear people, you've got to know, we could put 20 pastors up here and each one could tell you, no, this is the goal of the Christian life. And they would go to this book and show you the goal of the Christian life is righteousness. The goal of the Christian life is simply witnessing. The goal of the Christian life is learning doctrine. The goal of the Christian life is just there's something related to the church. The goal of the Christian life, and they you just go down the list, and they'll have. That's why you have. That's why you passed so many churches on your way to this one tonight. That's why you pass so many assembly buildings, because they each have a concept of what the goal is. Becomes very important. You have to decide for yourself. To me, the Spirit has made this very clear that it is spiritual love. You have to see it Nobody else can see it for you. Then secondly, what I want you to do is not only that it is, but also why. Why is spiritual love the goal? And very close to that now is what we're looking at right now, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. You've got to begin, if you haven't already, you've got to begin seeing his place. Not just who he is, but his place in this whole thing called human history. This whole thing called spiritual warfare. You're going to have to see the person of Christ. Now, you might as well relax, because we're getting ready to really bam blast in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and come more familiar with him than we ever have. We have focused a great deal on Jesus Christ in the first advent. That's not the revelation talked about in the book of Revelation. There's something far, far more superior, greater, of greater drama yet to occur and is occurring. So this whole thing that is going on is this point that we're now come to, and that is the person of this love. And I don't know where it is in my notes, but I'm just talking with you to get you into this, is remember a very important point about understanding spiritual love. It cannot be understood abstractly. You don't get to talk about spiritual love in an abstract discussion. This love is known only in a person. This love is known in the person of Christ. So you've got to start understanding how important that what I've got here on the board, the work, the cause, the means, the consciousness, and the person. And I might say here, the why. Got the how, here's the why. I could title this one the why. I could title this one the how. But here we're dealing with the person of this love. So that when you love as Christ loves, and I mean when it's greatly tested, and it takes the long suffering, and it takes the sacrifice, and it takes so much that spiritual love, only spiritual love has, your mind is brought not to what I'm going through, but to the person of Christ. And then I drift into the shadows. I'm no longer important. But that only becomes a reality, not when you just think of love in some abstract concept. That's where people get into a lot of trouble in marriages, in getting married, falling in love and thinking in some abstract term. People, love is known in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. So as we move now into this, we're not going to spend a great deal of time on this one either, but as we move into this one, this becomes the why. Why love? What is going on in this regard? So we're talking about, when I say the person, we're talking about Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit right now. I'm not talking about the Father. God is love. The Spirit is love. But I'm talking about the person of the humanity, the hypostatic union of the person of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about somebody specific that is known in the human race is a human, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. So this becomes extremely important. It's the person of Christ. And we're going to take it a few moments, but see, the understanding of this person being inside of us, why all of these things are so essential. You cannot love as Christ loved without him in you. I'm not even talking here, people, about thinking about Christ. I'm talking about his presence in you. For just an introductory principle, look with me at John 15. Look at me at John 15. John chapter 15. And look with me at verse 5. With me at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Not even love. Nothing in the spiritual realm. So when I'm talking about Jesus Christ, I'm talking about a person, and I'm talking about a person who is inside of you. I'm talking about a person with whom you and I have an intimate and can have an intimate personal relationship. I think every one of you here now has been under this understanding a great deal about the third person, and if you're not, we'll continue in what we're doing on Sunday morning in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. You've got pretty much. But now what we're doing is we're talking about this person. Chapter 14, 15, 16 go back and forth between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Come talk about the Holy Spirit, come talk about Christ. Come talk about the Holy Spirit, come talk about Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Lord is the Spirit. If you understand what's going on, there's no conflict in that kind of a statement to you. Okay. Now, what we have to take a look at is this person of Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at this person of Jesus Christ. This is so directly related to the spiritual warfare. But I guess the best way I want to do is, in dealing with human history, and then we'll come to the warfare, is the very presence of the person of Christ. The presence of Jesus Christ in human history it plays an essential part, and it's called in the nation of Israel. We'll go to the nation of Israel first. In the nation of Israel, there's a nation of Israel. In the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ was present, was there, and it was extremely important to the nation of Israel. And it was there, the presence of Jesus Christ was there, so that, now watch, so that they and the world, so that they, the Israelites, and the world would know that they belong to him, so that they would know that Christ was in their midst, and he was in their midst by what we know as the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory. Shekinah. Try to look it up in Webster's dictionary. The Shekinah glory. The Hebrew word. Shekinah, and the word means to dwell. The word Shekinah means to dwell. It means to reside. It means to abide. It means to settle down. It's combined with another Hebrew word, kabod, which means abiding to establish glory. Kabod means glory. Kabod means glory. So you combine two words, and the first word, Shekinah, which looks like this, and this is the word which means to dwell. This is the S-H, and we have the what would be a vowel, S-H-E, and then this is an N, N-A-H. This is the H, and this is Shana. And well, actually, we have this is the K sound, Shekinah, and Shekinah means to dwell, and then you add the word glory, and it means that the abiding of glory. The abiding of glory. And with that, people, you just put down into your mind, this is why love, the abiding of Christ. This is one of the greatest principles, people. Please get this is the most important, one of the greatest principles of the spiritual warfare that we keep talking about from Job on. Is this point of the glory of God abiding. It is so vital in understanding this. If you go and start understanding what's going on, is God. And God first created a high, very high seal of the perfection of his creation in the angel, supernatural being, called Lucifer. And he placed Lucifer over all the angels. He was the primary creation of God. This is the highest, we'll put it this way. He is the highest creation. He is over all. And this person rebelled. He rebelled against God. Now we come on the scene with God's next chosen one, and that is his son. His son, Jesus Christ. Now, what we're going to see the book of Revelation is about. There is no way in the study of the book of Revelation I'm going to be able to convey just everything like what we're doing even right now in any type of studying of it. You're going to get it, the concepts of the book of Revelation now and everything that we do. But what you have to see is great conflict that's been going on in the first universe. Remember, there are three universes, and here's the first universe, and the second universe, and the third universe. And in the first universe, the glory of God, the greatness of God, seen in Lucifer and what Lucifer would do. Lucifer rebelled, and Lucifer is going to be replaced. He is going to be replaced. He is going to be replaced by the one chosen by God. And the book of Revelation is the replacing of Lucifer, became known as Satan, Lucifer being replaced, and God is going to reveal his replacement, and his replacement is the person of Jesus Christ for all eternity future. People, it's awesome. It's awesome who he is. It's awesome who Jesus is. It's terrifying. It's exalting. A lot of different words with exact opposite meanings. The person of Jesus and all that this person is. But he is the one that is going to replace this one. And the book of Revelation is about that. God revealing, this is my glory. This right here is my champion, is Jesus Christ. Now, in the various stages in the second universe, Jesus Christ is present. The glory of God is present. And he's present in the nation of Israel. He's going to be present during his own time on earth, that I'll come to, I'm just talking with you now. And then he's present during the church, and he is present. His glory is present in you. That's an awesome thought. That's an awesome thought. That the glory of God is present in this time which you and I live. The Shekinah glory is present now, and he's present in every one of you that is sitting here. He's present in every one of us who has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and he's there for a very important reason. And that's where love is going to come in. And that's going to be why love. But this is going to be the replacement. We have seen and will continue to see how the pattern of replacement flows through Scripture. How the pattern of replacement flows through Scripture. Moses replaced by Joshua. Elijah replaced by Elijah. And he just goes through all these things in Scripture. The replacement. Israel replaced by the church. If you can grasp this whole picture that's going on. Now, this is why, and we'll have to get into it in Revelation. But this is going to take us somewhat, and I'm going to try not to get belated in it, but I've got to share with you and have fun with you on some things. Mythology is going to play a very big part Because, and I'm by mythology, I don't mean Greek mythology, even though there's some of this there. I'm talking about very ancient mythology. And what is so frightening about ancient mythology, frightening to a lot of Christians, and they don't like to talk about this, because then they'll think, people think that Christianity is mythology. Because in mythology, people, I want you to know why love. And I want you to know why it's the love of Christ. So I hope that you're following with me in what I'm doing. But in mythology, in ancient mythology, and if we took the world, the known world at that time, here's what I want to show you. Here's mythology, and here's a Mediterranean abstract drawing of it. And here you have the Canaanites, and here you have the Egyptians and the Assyrians, and primarily these types of things. And you go back, and we're talking in 4000 B.C. Okay? We're talking a long time ago. What you'll find is something frighteningly interesting. And while people want to say Christianity is mythology, they can't answer one question. Why is it that the mythology here is very similar to the mythology here, very similar to the mythology all up and down this valley, the Mediterranean Valley? Why is that? And what you have in all of this mythology is you have a high God who creates a great being. The great being rebels against the high God, and the high God sends his son, and the son and the great being have a great battle, and the son casts the great being into the sea, into the dark, and all of this part of the mythology. And so people say, well, then that's what the Bible is. Bible is just mythology. No, you've got to understand what mythology is. See, we have two things handed down to the world. God handed down what we know as Scripture. Here's Scripture. Now, people, think a minute. If you're Satan, don't you think there's going to be a little communicating also? Hand down your view? Kind of change who wins, though, in some of the cases? Kind of color it your way? Yeah. So we have Satan passing down his, and that's where mythology comes from. And you'll find things that are very similar in parts of this with parts of this. Or you'll find things here that are very close to what happened here. But what you do have going on in the previous universe and now and in the revelation to come about that is so important is this concept of replacement. Lucifer, that great and shining one, that's what Lucifer means, is going to be replaced by Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of my chosen one. The revelation of my son, the victor over Satan. Now we come to where do I fit into this equation? And that's not arrogant. That's not arrogant. Where do I fit here? Where do I fit in all of this? I'm not important enough to fit into all of this. I know me. I don't make much money. Sometimes I don't have any money. My wife does this, or my husband does that, or I'm unimportant, I don't have a good job, nobody pays attention to me, including my dog, that's why I got rid of him. On and on and on. I'm really not important enough to be in all of this. You're talking something far beyond my problems and me. No, we're not. No, we're not. Because in you resides God's chosen one. In you is His glory. Bundled up inside of you. waiting to be expressed to you. I can't express to you how important. And this is not a preacher spoken. This is illumination of Scripture. How important you are. Why you go under testing. I hope that every one of you can say, yeah, Israel was important. Follow all things dealing, God's dealing with Israel. Yeah, church is important, but not me. You're part of the church. And then that nation of Israel was this temple. It was this great temple. And in that temple resided the glory of God, Jesus Christ. The Shekinah glory. The dwelling of the glory of God. He dwelt in you. Now, he dwelt in you. Then, here's the temple. He dwelt in the temple so that all would know, so that all would know that these people are my people. Then he came in his own person. Now, you're going to have to make your own point. I'm going to write now 10 points, but I'm just talking. I'm not giving you the point by point. So you're going to have to get it out. This has a lot of to do with a lot of points in dealing with that the glory resided in this temple. Then this glory, this is kind of taking the 12 into what's going on, then the glory abided in a person. This person came and tabernacled among men. John chapter 1. He came and made his abode in a man, the person of Jesus Christ. That's where the glory was. The temple had moved over into the shadows. The Ark of the Covenant wasn't even in it. The study of the temple is in itself an awesome study. And it's an essential study because that is the glory place. But in Solomon's temple, in Herod's temple, by the time Christ came, it's called Herod's temple, the ark wasn't in there, people. It was all a facade. Temple of David is the last temple that's important to God. And we'll maybe see why. But he came and dwelt among men. The word to dwell means to tabernacle, temple. He tabernacled among men. So the glory now is in this person. And this person demonstrated the love of God in defeating Satan. This person resolved and revealed the glory of God, the love of God at the cross. And then he left. And now, since he's departed and gone, now, where, pray tell, is the glory of God now? The glory of God is in you. That's where the glory is. Inside of you. That's where he dwells. Now, so, he now dwells inside. I and you, you and me, union model. I and the Father and me, union model here. Don't get away from the union model. There are so many of these understandings that have to start blending together, and the Holy Spirit will do it for you. It's not a heavy deal. It isn't a heavy thing. But they start blending, and everything starts fitting together real beautifully. And you see more of this Grand Canyon that the Holy Spirit starts illuminating. The union model between God the Father and His Son now becomes the pattern for over here of Jesus Christ inside of you and you in Him. Now, what is going to happen here? How are people going to know that in you is this glory? How are they going to know that this glory resides in you? Because you say so? No. Sorry. Because you go to church? Bible church? Any church? No. Because you dress a certain way, act a certain way, all this kind of stuff? No. Why? In the battle between God and Satan, Okay, high God, battling with the highest of his creation. They battled, God won. God won. And Satan protested. Can't do that. Can't, loving God, righteous God, can't do that. So we have a big trial going on. And that's why the word that we looked at Sunday morning, or going to look at in detail this Sunday, an advocate, refers to somebody in a legal case. And God has sent you two advocates. Jesus Christ is your first advocate. The Holy Spirit is your second advocate. That's no accident that word is used. There's a big trial going on. God brings man on the scene. Man and God are in great harmony with each other. This line is beautiful. Man has the life of God. Man is the spirit of God. Man can commune with God, understands God. He's very jealous about this. He rises up in revolt, comes in and breaks that, bringing sin, which results death. And then he says to God, now, there's nothing you can do because that wonderful little creation of yours is in sin and of no value. And they now belong to me and my kingdom. Gotcha. There's nothing you can do. Nobody can make that which is unrighteous righteous. That which is, take a word we studied last night, that which is unclean, dirty, impure. Who can make that which is impure clean? No one. He even says that. Satan does. No one. The unclean, unrighteous. No one can make them righteous. And you are a righteous and just God. There's nothing you can do about it. You sentenced me, okay? Now you've got to sentence him, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. And then you didn't plan on people. Why love? For an answer. Why spiritual love? The one thing Satan didn't plan on in his dilemma, and that was the demonstration of the magnitude, and I've got to put it on the board, the magnitude of the love of God. And the magnitude of the love of God was that he would send his own son. What happened on the cross? What happened by that love, people? One, God was propitiated. God's righteousness and justice were satisfied. Secondly, man was redeemed out of sin. The sins were paid for on the cross. And three, the archenemy was defeated at the cross because of an expression of the love of God. And every time that you live your life in spiritual life, in fundamental analysis, you accomplish all three of these things when you love as Christ loved. You are pleasing to God. You reveal his glory. Sin has no bondage over you when you're doing spiritual love, and Satan is put to running when you love as Christ loved. Satan is going to come after those who desire to walk by faith and have the Holy Spirit pour this love in them, because he cannot have this love out there. Why can't he have this love? People, he doesn't care how much you learn, how much you do. He doesn't care about all of that. He cannot have this love of this person, Jesus, flowing out from you, because it is that love that defeated him on the cross. It is that love that satisfies his arch enemy, God. It is that love that solves the sin problem. And he's going to do whatever he can to keep you from loving as Christ loved. Does anybody have any problem tonight in seeing why love? That's my most important thing for me to do tonight. Not only that it is love, but why. What happens when you love as Christ loved? These are the things that happen. God is glorified. Satan is defeated. You put away sin when you love as Christ loved. It is phenomenal what happens. And nothing else is like it. Nothing else. Paul doesn't say, people, if you do righteousness, you do love. No, he says, if you do love, you do righteousness. You will not harm, hurt anyone. You will not wrong anyone. You might hurt them when it happens, but let's use another word. You will not wrong anyone when you love as Christ loved. You can't. Love won't do that. So in the analysis, faith is the battle. Why? Because faith, from faith, is where we get this love. But love is where we're headed for. And even love really isn't the final objective. Final objective here is the glory. There's your final objective. Is the glory of God. And when you love as Christ loves, His glory flows through you in the period of the church. Now people, a day is coming of the revelation of God's hero. And that's what we said in the book of Revelation. But that's not now. What's going on now, but it is so vital for us to have it. Book of Revelation is the only book. Here's a blessing if you'll understand this book, if you'll read, get this book. I think that we've done enough study on areas that brought Satan on us and all that. A study of book that has a blessing with it, pronounced. But even then, Satan doesn't want to talk. But what I want you to see is, this is what we're talking about, the revelation of this one in you when you love as Christ loved. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Is it possible, Heavenly Father, that with the mere human intellect that we have to be able to grasp into the mysteries of the unknown, to know things, Heavenly Father, that are kept secret, kept a mystery. Is it really possible that we can begin to grasp and touch why there are problems in our lives and suffering and adversity and why faith is always challenged? And you have revealed to us in your word that yes, you can. If we will trust your spirit to eliminate these things for us. Father, we have no agenda. We have no answer that we want to force. We have no righteousness. We don't even have a love. We have nothing, Father, except the desire to see and hear. We are so appreciative, Father, that you have given to us the illuminating ministry of the Spirit. And now, Father, it is our purpose to walk in Him, that we might see these things, Father, and that this love may flow through us, out from us. In our marriages, in our family, in our single life, in our church, in our work, our home, every area of our being. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the revealing ministry you've given to us through your Spirit in Him. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.